Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Eagle Hour. Bob Getty and Luke Johnson were in the First Bank Studios in Laurel and Hattiesburg this afternoon. Rainy afternoon here in South Mississippi. We're glad you're tuned in on one of our Super Talk affiliates or online, wherever you choose to find us. We're grateful that you do. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Proud supporters of Southern Miss Athletics and, of course, the Eagle Hour. We appreciate them mightily. We encourage you the next time you have a taste for some delicious barbecue, check out Dickey's. You can enjoy it in the dining room, through the drive-thru, take out, however you choose. Dickey's should be your first choice when it comes to barbecue. Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Biloxi Sun-Herald, joining us later in the show. But first, we're very glad to have Kendall Rogers, who's the managing editor of D1 Baseball, on with us today, the go-to publication for college baseball. First of all, Kendall, thanks very much for your time.
You got it, man. I'm looking forward to this, you know, last month and a half of the regular season. I can't believe it. We've gone from, you know, back in the fall, not even sure we're going to have college baseball, and now we're already a month and a half away from the postseason. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's gone by really fast, but it's just been wonderful to have college baseball back. Well, Kendall, we have a couple of things we'd like to talk to you about today. First would be the announcement last week by the NCAA that I guess for the first time ever, they're going to predetermine, regional sites. Now, I'm going to assume you would agree with me that any chance Southern Miss may have had probably dissipated last night with their third loss to South Alabama. But Louisiana Tech, in fact, I read an article just today where their athletic director said they're all in an effort to try to land a regional. So the question would be the predetermination of the regional sites. What does that mean for the smaller schools like the Louisiana Techs and USMs of the baseball world?
You know what? I actually don't feel like Southern Miss is out of it yet. I mean, you think about it now. I mean, let's say they go to Ruston, win 3 of 4. They win their next 2 or 3 series. And leading up to May 10th, they've now won, you know, what? Let's say they've won 4 straight series leading up to May 10th. The RPI, because of the road, you know, the 3 wins in Ruston would probably go way up. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I don't think they're out of it. Now, have they put themselves at a disadvantage a little bit? Absolutely. But I still feel like they're in a situation to where, they could get themselves right back in the mix. With that said, Louisiana Tech's going to be tough to overcome in terms of getting a host site, just because when you look at Tech, you know, they have the conference resume. They have the non-conference resume that, you know, they went out and played those SEC teams on the weekend, and they went 2-2. They went 2-2 against them. So they played pretty well against some pretty tough competition. They have not shied away from really good teams. Not to say Southern Miss has, but I'm just saying their resume is very stout, which is why their RPI is where it is. And so Louisiana Tech sitting in a good spot. I would say this. If you think back in college baseball history, think of how many teams, especially the mid-major and upper mid-major level, like Conference USA, these teams that, you know, had strong mays. They went deep in their conference tournament, and because of that, they earned a regional host. Well, that's no longer going to happen. Like, whatever is your status on May 10th is your status in terms of being able to host. So there's no doubt it hurts mid-majors because a lot of their hay is made late in May. But, this is one of those years where the NCAA feels like they need 3 weeks to prepare for the postseason. And, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I'm not a fan of it, but I'm also one of those people who – I look at the silver lining, and we could also be in a situation to where we have no postseason. So I'll take it for now.
Right, large. I guess the opinion is though this is a 1 year deal. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've not heard from any sources that this plans on being a permanent issue in college baseball, or a permanent deal.
Right, Luke, get in here with us.
Kendall, you know, the pinball effect going back and forth, you know, judging national rankings and RPI rankings. In your mind, what is more important for a team?
Oh, RPI, without a doubt. I mean, hey, I love our rankings as much as anybody, but, I mean, at the end of the day, what matters is RPI. And frankly, you know, I know the committee looks at our rankings, but ultimately I think that the ultimate determinant is pretty much the RPI. Now, what will be really interesting is, you know, how the committee, and this is where rankings kind of come in as a factor, but like if you look at the Big Ten, for instance, you know, Michigan has an RPI in the 60s, but they're ranked in the top 25. Louisville out of the ACC is even a better example. I think their RPI is like 58 right now, and they're ranked top 10 by everybody. So I do think this year more than ever, because of COVID and because of some of the schedule alterations, that rankings will be more important than they have been. But at the end of the day, I still think the NCAA committee is going to use the RPI as the ultimate metric.
Yeah, we're in total agreement with you. RPI has always been the favorite. The reason I ask that is, you know, if we look at Louisiana Tech or Southern Miss, Tech right now, top 10 RPI team. I mean, because they don't play in a Power 5 conference, I mean, could you see a top 10 RPI team not getting a national seed?
No, I mean, I think the biggest thing will be, like, who hosts, you know. For instance, you know, this could be one area that actually does hurt Southern Miss a little bit, or even Louisiana Tech. I don't think it's going to happen with Tech, but this hurts Southern Miss's chances. Is, you know, if they're trying to move these around geographically and make location matter and things like that. You know, if you look at it right now, you're looking at Starkville, Oxford, Ruston, and you know Southern Miss is going to have a really strong resume to basically have a fourth host within a, you know, 280-300 mile radius. And so you know, that's going to be really interesting to see just what happens. I'm very curious to see what they do just from a spreading out standpoint, because for instance, like Notre Dame out of the ACC is a Midwestern host for sure. Like, do they give Michigan, despite its, you know, 60-ish RPI, do they give Michigan a second Midwest host? And also, like, how do we sort out the West Coast? You know, Oregon has told me they'll submit a bid to host a regional. But, like, do the California teams, because of state COVID regulations, do they even care to, like, bid for a regional? Because if you can only have 100 people there, why host a regional?
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Kendall, tell us, for those of us that may not understand, I'm in that group. How can there be such a difference in the national ranking of a team and the RPI? And you just used two good examples of that.
Yeah, I just think the biggest thing is this year, especially, is COVID. Things are just a lot different than they were last year. You know, Louisville, for instance, if you look at Louisville's resume, and you just kind of broke down each series, each weekend, like you come away going, okay, like I like this resume. The problem is they have like a midweek loss to Morehead State. They lost like their season opener to Western Illinois, who I haven't looked lately, but I guarantee you their RPI is like, you know, 260 or something like that. So they just have a couple of bad losses here and there that have really kind of weighted down their RPI. So, you know, this is a year that if it was a normal season, I would say Louisville has no shot to be a top 16, and they're probably not a top 10 team. But this year, you know, they passed the eyeball test, but the RPI is just not following suit.
All right. Luke, one more question for Kendall.
Yeah, one more question, Kendall. So Conference USA, most of the time, just a two-bid league, and the last few years, it's been Tech or FAU. This year, four teams in D1 baseballs right now, top 30. Charlotte is at 21, a spot ahead of Southern Miss. Of course, La Tech at 7. Old Dominion's at 29, and those two teams, Old Dominion and Tech, play a two-game series at the end of the season that won't have any conference ramifications. Do you think Conference USA is a three-bid league as a lock and maybe a four-bid league?
I mean, I would say unless there's a bit, you know, unless Old Dominion or Charlotte goes like, you know, 1-7 or 0-8 against the other, I mean, I think it's a four-bid league. I mean, I think when you look at ODU and Charlotte, Southern Miss, These are all teams that went out and played people in non-conference, and they went out and they were really consistent in non-conference. So, you know, if you're consistent in non-conference and you're good in your league, you're going to get in this year, especially if your RPI is respectable. What's really interesting to me about Conference USA is, what if I would have told you, you know, a while back, or, you know, even last year, that Conference USA would get four bids? You know, by the way, Rice isn't one of them. I think that just says a lot about the trajectory of this league. You know, the fact that Rice is dead last in the league and they're poised to get four bids. This is a good development for Conference USA.
Kendall, unfortunately, we're short on time, but we really appreciate your time on the show. And now that we've located you, we may be calling on you again in the future. We love your insight, and I'm sure our fans do too. Real quickly, we've got just a few seconds left. Your prediction of what sort of seed Southern Miss may secure when this is all over?
I mean, I think they're a slam dunk number two right now. I mean, we'll see how things look in a month and a half, but right now, for me, they're a two seed. They've been very consistent. The RPI is in line with a two seed, and boy, I just hope that they get my guy Gabe Shepherd in line. I mean, I hated to see him struggle last night because he's a good kid. He's really, really talented, and certainly they would love to have him clicking on all cylinders in the postseason.
No question, Kendall. We appreciate your time very much, my friend, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, y'all be safe. Thanks.
All right, Kendall Rogers, everybody, managing editor of D1 Baseball, who predicts Southern Miss will be a lock for a number two seed in the NCAA regionals. Big games this weekend. We'll talk about the rather depressing game last night and what's ahead for the Golden Eagles next. Hang on.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, we want to thank Kendall Rogers from D1 Baseball for joining us in the first segment of the show. The second segment, of course, sponsored by Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net, our good friends on Hardy Street, where you'll find the greatest Southern Miss apparel on the planet. They're open 6 days a week, or you can shop online at campusbookmart.net. It's Wednesday. We go down to the Mississippi Gulf Coast to get a hold of the professor, our good friend Patrick McGee from the Biloxi Sun-Herald. Patrick, another bad performance last night for Southern Miss against a South Alabama team that's just had their number all year long. They seem to have really strong midweek pitching. The Golden Eagles had good midweek pitching last night after the first inning, but how harmful was that loss last night for the Golden Eagles?
Well, it didn't help. You know, in terms of whenever you have three losses on the schedule to South Alabama, that, you know, that doesn't help. Again, at midweek only has so much impact on all this. If they kind of take care of business in conference play against Louisiana Tech and in Florida Atlantic and really the rest of the slate, they'll be fine. But it was a setback, and more so just from when it comes to momentum. I think what it was, seven straight wins for
right,
something like that. So I mean, it's just kind of a you know, potentially a momentum staller going to Louisiana Tech, and that's not what you want. So, you know, the world's not falling apart because you lost to South Alabama, but that was disappointing. To, you know, you're coming, Charlie Fisher's not in the lineup, and then all of a sudden you go out there and get shut out.
Yeah, disappointing, I think, is the best word. But there was a bright spot, and for the second time we've seen that there's so much pitching depth on this team that you can go Johnny Holstaff during the week, and these guys have pretty much shut down Alabama and South Alabama in the last two midweek games.
Yeah, I mean, that depth that we talked about before the season is still there, even though Gabe Shepherd is struggling and isn't making anywhere near the contribution that was expected out of him this season. So they're going to be able to compete pitching-wise. You know, it's not going to be perfect every time out, but if you're able to get to, you're playing, you know, five games in the course of 5 days, and you're able to go out there and really compete pitching wise every day. So that's not something just any team can do. So yeah, it tells you that Southern Miss is a team, even if they're not hosting, even though not a one seed or even a two seed. If you put them in a regional, they got a chance to kind of make something happen just based on the depth on the pitching staff.
And I think they have that chance this weekend. I think they could have easily won three of the four games against Louisiana Tech 2 weeks ago. I think they have to go into this weekend series with confidence that they can win the series.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think just their recent play in Conference USA gives them that confidence going in. You really kind of put it to Texas San Antonio in three games. Then you sweep, you know, UAB's not a hot, great team, but you get that sweep pretty easily. So I think they come in with a pretty good bit of confidence. It's all a matter of how they're going to hit. They're going to get enough pitching to win 2 to 3 games at Ruston, but are the bats going to deliver with it seems unlikely that Fisher will be in the lineup again this weekend. If he is, it'll be a bit of a surprise. So it's just figuring out a way to produce runs, and, you know, Danny Lynch and these other guys are starting to hit it well, and Reese Ewing has done a really good job. The lineup has come together to be a decent unit. So you got to go out there and score 7 or 8, runs a game to really have a chance. But they have a shot going up there without a doubt.
Yeah, I saw a picture of Fisher's hand last night. I don't think there's any way in the world he grips a bat for a while. Luke, get in here with the professor.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting last night, Patrick, that Wilkes just basically he replaced Fisher. The lineup stood the same. Good thing Wilkes didn't strike out last night and put the ball into play. Do you expect maybe Ewing to slide up to that 3-hole or Lynch or somebody, maybe even Sargent, slide up to the 3, or rather than it just be a plug-and-play for Wilkes this coming weekend, or you think he needs to be put in that 3-hole against Tech?
In my opinion, I probably wouldn't put him in the 3-hole going into this weekend. I think Barry might give himself the liberty, especially coming off being shut out. I think he'll give himself the liberty to go ahead and maybe move up. I think it does make sense to move Sargent up and then just kind of move the lineup up from there. I think that would probably be the best idea, if not move Trimble down to the 3 and put somebody else at the 2. He's going to have to mix and match some. To plug in Slade Wilkes is such a crucial point at the 3. Yeah, he didn't strike out, last night. And he has swung the bat better here lately. Looked much better, gaining some confidence there at the plate. If he can, I'm not saying he won't play in the 3-hole, but I think Barry should feel, free to put whoever, I'm with you, probably moving Sargent up to the 3.
I've been a Southern Miss fan from day one of my life, and it's just so Southern Miss this weekend that we go in without our one of our best hitters and the rehab, trying to get Gabe Shepherd restarted, have not come to pass, Patrick. I mean, think about what it would be had Shepherd had a really good outing last night, and you would have your, 3-hole, 300-plus hitter going into Tech this weekend, but kind of par for the course for Southern Miss. Got to find a way to do something without some guys they could have used for sure.
Yeah, it's so strange to be sitting here where Southern Miss is and Shepherd not able to. The last two outings he's had were particularly rough. So you hate it for him. He's apparently lost some confidence, but they're able to put it all together. I mean, they've done it all season long. They might have one guy who kind of stubbed his toe a little bit, but they've got somebody ready to go right behind him that seems to kind of do the job. So Southern Miss's staff is, Hunter Stanley's good on Friday. You got Walker Powell, Ben Etheridge really developed, and you have Drew Boyd, who's really become a steady guy, pitched really well against UAB, I thought. So all the pieces are there for Southern Miss in that pitching staff. It's just crazy to think how good they can be if Shepherd was anything close to as good as he was back, a couple years ago. I mean, you're talking about a team that's, probably got three or four a few losses on the schedule up to this point, if Gabe Shepherd is right.
Right.
Looking last night, even though how difficult it was, Montenegro is on fire. I think he's 30 out of the last 61. The average has come up almost 200 points since about a month and a half ago. It's pretty amazing what he's done in the last 4 weeks, Patrick.
Yeah, and you always knew, Gabe, of all the guys that were kind of scuffling there through March and early in the season, you knew Gabe Montenegro was going to get right at the top of that lineup, and that's what they need. He's really the most important catalyst, I think, in the entire lineup. He and Trimble there at the top of the lineup, they do a good job. And Trimble, he's hit around 280, which is fine. I think they'd like to see his batting average kind of bump up a little bit here in the weeks to come. But, yeah, if Montenegro is going, really the lineup as a whole can score it, put up the necessary output to win baseball games. So I think Montenegro is a guy that's, he is who we expect of him. He's playing the type of ball that we've always expected out of him.
So, for people that may not know, what exactly happened to Shepherd? Go back to that regional a couple years ago when he was just lights out. What happened since then, Patrick?
Well, in the COVID shortened season, he was dealing with some arm fatigue. There early in the season, they had to shut him down, and he was just about to come back, and I think was looking good right before the season shut down. And then they kind of, you know, let him rest over the summer, just trying to get him healthy. And then I think it was in December, he suffered another setback where he pulled a muscle in his back. And that just really kind of threw him off, I guess that's the best way to put it. And he just hasn't really been able to get right since he's come back. He's such a physically strong kid. I mean, he's a well-put-together kid. He's basically all muscle. And I don't have any great explanation for it, but he just hasn't, you know, I don't know if it's mechanic or mental or a little bit of everything right now, but he's just never been able to get 100% ever since he was part of that, you know, the win over Rice, and then the way he pitched in that regional at Baton Rouge, you're thinking, you know, he's a potential first-round draft pick. But he just, you know, he had a good game or two in the COVID-shortened season, but he just clearly wasn't even right then.
Right. Well, last night what I observed is he had a lot of problems with his control. The three-run home run he gave up barely went over the wall, and that's a catch that maybe most nights Montenegro can make, but he just couldn't quite get his glove on the ball, and it barely got over the wall. But it looked like to me the biggest problem he's got is control. He just he struck out the first batter and then was just throwing balls everywhere.
Yeah, I think was it how many guys did he walk against Alabama?
Yeah.
I mean, he's really lost the plate, and it's weird to see because you saw how precise he was back in 2019 against teams like Rice and Arizona State, and was pitching well to close out the regular season as well. So
right,
you hate to see a guy kind of lose the plate, but that's something that can be corrected. You just hope it's not a case of the yips.
Right. All right, Patrick, before we let you go, give us your prediction for what is a really big weekend for Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech.
I'm thinking it's at Ruston. I think a split is probably the most likely outcome at this point. I think Southern Miss goes up there motivated, and, you know, there's always going to be that one-run game. Who's it going to go to? But there in Ruston, it's kind of hard to go up there and win three games. So I think a split's probably a likely outcome at this point.
And a lot of worse things could happen than splitting with them. Am I right about that?
No, that's not. That's pretty good. You're still looking at yourself as a 2-seed, probably going into the regional if you go up there and get a split.
All right, Patrick, we appreciate you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody, sports editor from the Biloxi Sun-Herald and the go-to guy for Southern Miss sports information. We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Back on a rainy Wednesday. Great show so far. Kendall Rogers and Patrick McGee, first two segments. If you missed those, go back and check them out later. You can always listen on demand at supertalk.fm. And we're on a lot of platforms, kind of scary, but we're out there in the Apple world, in the podcasts and App Store, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and you can catch those interviews with Kendall Rogers and Patrick McGee earlier in the show. Happy to have you along on a Wednesday. Luke Johnson, Bob Getty from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg and beautiful downtown Laurel. You shouldn't have let the rain get you down today because 4th Street Bar and Grill was serving that $8.95 lunch. They had country fried steak and chicken fried chicken, mac and cheese, rice, tomato gravy, toast, and a drink, and it was only $8.95. Pork chops tomorrow, and, of course, the famous Bob Getty fried catfish on Friday. Mm. So 4th Street Bar and Grill, great place to watch your favorite sports, and, of course, they will be showing the Eagles against Louisiana Tech this weekend, and it's all at 4th Street Bar and Grill in Hattiesburg. Kelly Sander joins us on the phone before we get to Kelly. Big win last night for the Lady Eagles out in Houston, Texas. They knock off Florida Atlantic 2-1 in the quarterfinals of the Conference USA Ladies Soccer Tournament. Eagles took a 2-0 lead, and they took three shots within the first 40 minutes and went to halftime with a 1-0 lead. In the second half, just 30 seconds, and Haley Pasovic scored, and FAU tacked on one a little later in the game, but the Lady Eagles held on, and so they will be taking on host Rice tomorrow night at 7 p.m. out in Houston, Texas. So congratulations to Coach Mo, Coach Malden, and all the ladies with that quarterfinal win against Florida Atlantic. Kelly Sander joins us in a new hardwood basketball commit. Kelly?
Yeah, and a big one at that. It was just announced that Rashad Bolden from St. Andrews High School up near the Jackson area has signed his letter of intent to play for Coach Jay Ladner. This is the type of guy that that you'd like to sign every year. This is a kid who runs the backcourt. He has garnered three state titles in the past 4 years. So you know this guy knows how to win. And he's not once, but a two-time Dandy Dozen player. So a big get, as they say, for the Southern Miss basketball program, as Rashad Bolden is now officially in the fold, guys.
Kelly, he's a 5'11 kid, so you got to think the reason for it is this is Jay Ladner's thinking, you know, this is going to be my trigger man. And he may not, I'm not saying he's going to get thrown into the fire as a true freshman next year, may need to develop some, but Ladner's got to view this kid as somebody that can take over the point guard position sooner than later.
That's the position that they've got an all points bulletin out for. So that is great news, but while some players are coming in, Luke, apparently some players are looking to get out.
Yeah, earlier in the week came to find out Justin Johnson, who transferred in JUCO last year. He was number two on the roster this year, 6'6", guard. He will be entering the transfer portal, according to verbalcommits.com. Justin Johnson entering the transfer portal, and hate to see him go. He was one of the guys that was vital in getting DeAndre Pinckney in, and Pinckney started really the second half of the season. So Eagles get one today. Looks like they may lose one. Bob, we talked about that. We talked about that because of COVID and the portal, there was going to be some roster shuffle, and it looks like, Bob, that's already taken place.
It's not a big surprise, but I just have to tell you, both of you guys, I just think this transfer portal has just opened up a Pandora's box, and it's just far too easy, it seems to me now, for kids to not fulfill their commitments that they've made. They're getting scholarships to make a commitment, and I don't know, Kelly, am I right? Have we just entered an era where if I don't get to play as much as I want, I'll just go to the transfer portal?
Bob, you were a step ahead of me. And again, you and I joke about how people picture us as the two old Muppet guys up in the right. Opera balcony, you know, that just complain about everything. But you just beat me to the punch. That's exactly what I was going to say. One of the great things about sports, it taught you about discipline. It taught you about competition. It taught you about battling for your place in the pecking order. Okay, now I'll go, and if it doesn't work out, I'll just go somewhere else. Well,
right.
The world of employment doesn't work like that. You know, it's not like, well, if I don't like it, I'll just go to this other company. Well, maybe you won't, you know. I totally agree. Everything in the world today, it's, you know, they want this younger generation. They want, you know, food in 30 seconds. They want, you know, they're quick to divorce. All the statistics are out there. You know, they want everything to be perfect, and they want it now. And if it doesn't work out, they'll just go somewhere else. Well, and that's going to end at some point. So anyway,
it's important for us to add here. We don't know specifically why Johnson's transferring. We do know that he had really a come to truth meeting with Coach Ladner in the midseason, and his play and his playing time really excelled after that. So, you know, there was an apparent buy-in, and we don't know all the dynamics for why, but Justin Johnson no longer with the Southern Miss basketball team.
Yeah,
not sure what that was coming out of the First Bank studio in Hattiesburg just then, Bob. I'm not sure if
It's lightning, my friend. No, it's
the studio. Lightning.
The lightning is just crashing through the board here. It's
and we were speaking about the transfer portal. We were speaking in generalities, you know, not necessarily his case, but
sure.
But in generalities, other little bit about a lot of things. The Atlantic League in baseball is going to experiment with moving the pitcher's mound back 12 inches. They think it'll make a big difference that the pace of the games have really slowed down. In fact, the objective is they want the athleticism of defenses to be exhibited, and the only way that that can be exhibited is for the ball to be put in play. But less and less baseballs are being put in play. In fact, this year already at the major league level, 37.1% of bats at bats end in either a walk, a strikeout, or a home run. That's pushing half. A walk, a strikeout, or a home run. Well, there's not a whole lot of action there. So the Atlantic League thinking of moving the pitcher's mound back 12 inches, and that will obviously slow down pitches a little bit. It'll give hitters a little bit more time to recognize pitches in the hopes that it will be put into play. So we'll see how that works
out. That's the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my life.
Well, when you think of 10 years ago, Luke, only 29% of those at-bats resulted in a walk, strikeout, or a home run. So it's almost
10%
more.
We got higher velos now for sure, and I get that. But pitchers shouldn't be punished because of that. You're fundamentally changing the game.
Well, you didn't used to get trophies for just showing up either.
What hasn't fundamentally changed in the
I'm mostly baseball purist. We've gone through mash ball, we're going through strikeout ball right now. The hitters will adjust to that. But don't try to fundamentally change the game to catch up offense when pitching's dominating.
But that has always been the case where they've tried to change offense. And the biggest move ever, of course, was the institution of the designated hitter in the American League to try to score more runs. It also, the idea was to prolong the baseball life of some baseball greats. Reggie Jackson comes to mind, that if you had the designated hitter, some of these older guys that couldn't play defense anymore, you know, could stick around. So, I mean, there is ample precedent to show where baseball has tried to increase offense, but your point is well taken, that pitchers, for being so good, are being punished, but they want to put less emphasis on pitching and more emphasis on all-around team performance. So we'll see how it works out.
It would cause more arm injuries, too, though, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily, because, again, they are going to have to throw further, but that generally will mean they're not going to be able to throw as hard, which you'd think, if anything, would mean less stress on the arm. And not as much. So we'll see. But Major League Baseball is going to be watching it very, very carefully and closely to see if it's something that they may want to implement going forward after this year. But those numbers are from Major League Baseball. 37.1% of all at-bats, either a walk, a strikeout, or a home run. And they want to see more singles and doubles and things like that being hit. So we'll see. Let's see. Jadeveon Clowney, formerly with the Tennessee Titans, has signed a one-year deal with the Cleveland Browns worth $10 million.
Wow.
$10 million. So the Browns will have quite a pair of defensive ends with Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett on the other side. So that's
Boy, the time of making fun of the Browns is over. I think the Browns are legit.
Well, because the Browns are in the Bengals division, very few people anymore, Bob, were making fun of the Browns.
No, well, I mean, they got two wins before the season ever starts.
Well, that's true.
A two-game jump over everybody else, Kelly.
And our daily Cincinnati Bengal joke is they signed Thaddeus Moss, who was cut by Washington. So now the Bengals.
That tells you everything.
Yeah, they're picking up the scraps from a team that doesn't even have a name.
When you're picking up the guys that can't play for the Redskins, hit the rock bottom, brother.
That's about it.
That's the funniest thing I've heard all day, Kelly.
Hey, Bob, when we come back on the other side of the commercial break, some legislation dealing with sports out of the state of Iowa that is really sparking some interesting debate. Even though it's from my home state, I think it's going to be very, very interesting, and we'll discuss that as the Eagle Hour continues after this commercial timeout.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training, located on Party Street in Hattiesburg. The website is dbathattiesburg.com. Always something going on at DBAT and D1 Training. We greatly appreciate their sponsorship of the Eagle Hour. There was a 1 hour, 40-minute rain delay for Southern Miss Beach Volleyball last night, but the Lady Eagles survived that and put away Southeastern Louisiana and New Orleans. They put away Southeastern 5-0, New Orleans 3-2. Bob Getty on hand for some of those matches for Lady Eagle Beach Volleyball. Yeah. Hey, how about the Southern Miss men's golf team up at the Mountaineer Invitational hosted by West Virginia University Golf? Golden Eagles finish second in a field of 13 teams. Bryce Wilkinson, the junior, shoots a combined 216, a 72, a 71, and a 73 yesterday. He finishes second overall. Matt Lorenz finishes 11th overall. Golden Eagles had five golfers finish in the top 30. So congratulations to Coach Brescher and his team. Well done as they come home from West Virginia. Second overall in the team, and Bryce Wilkinson second overall in the entire golf tournament. So that's a absolutely wonderful showing up there for our men's golf team. They'll get ready for the Conference USA Championships in Texarkana, Arkansas on April 26th. All right, Kelly, what's going on in Iowa that has you so perplexed?
Yeah, and I'm going to get to that in a second, but I just want Southern Miss fans to know that Bob Getty and I, as the two old mully grubs, we're going to take care of this. Yes,
go ahead.
You know, the Debbie Downers.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to take care of this current domination that South Alabama has on Southern Miss. Trust us, from here on out, Bob and I have got it, okay? Just leave it to us. The days of South Alabama beating Southern Miss in anything are over.
Yeah. We're going to volunteer to cater their food for them the next time they come to town. Right, Kelly?
Yeah, the Jags might be involved in some, quote-unquote, accidents. You know, capiche?
We're tired of South Alabama.
Wait, hold on. You were responsible for feeding the entire Northwestern State team. Did the Southern Miss win because of that?
No, they did not.
No,
they did not.
But we like them better than we do South Alabama, right, Kelly?
For sure. And it's going to start with football season, fans. You mark it down, take it to the bank. South Al, your days are over, and they are numbered. So, yeah, the state of Iowa, and it's just been signed into law by Governor Kim Reynolds, the Iowa legislature passed legislation making the third week in August from here forward, makes it illegal the third week of August for any children to participate in rec sports. And I know everybody's going, what in the world? Well, the theory behind it is that all families will have time to spend together without being able to use youth sports as an excuse. Hopes that families will come back together and start spending more time together as families. Noble idea, but we'll see.
Is there anything dumber than politicians? I mean, do they not understand that if your child is involved in a sport and he's playing or she's playing that weekend, the whole family's out there watching them? That's some of the greatest family time I've had in my lifetime, where the years my children played in sports and we followed them around and participated in that. Politicians are just the dumbest humans on the planet, Kelly.
Well, they don't live in reality lots of times.
No.
You know, they think they know what's best, and they talk themselves into it. But anyway, we'll see. Well, and the fact that they think that passing a law is going to stop it.
Correct.
Necessarily.
Oh, my word.
That's funny. So... we'll see. And finally, you guys probably heard that Bernie Madoff, the guy with the Ponzi schemes and the what they call multi-level marketing or pyramid schemes, he passed away this morning in prison. So in order for his death to really be effective, the two guys that he brought into the business under him will have to die next, and then the four guys under them, and then the eight guys under them.
I'll never forgive him for what he did to one of my favorite actors, Kevin Bacon. So I have no sympathy for him.
We'll see, but that's all I've got going today.
Ponzi scheme. I think that's enough all for right. you, Center.
Last night in Conference USA Baseball, Troy defeats UAB 12-4. Of course, the Eagles fall to South Alabama 4-0. Rice holds on and defeats Incarnate Word 15-12. Old Dominion was supposed to take on Virginia tonight, but that's postponed. So the only game in Conference USA tonight, Marshall at West Virginia, the battle for the state of West Virginia at 6:30 from Morgantown.
Not a good performance last night for the Golden
Eagles. No, you guys, and what has happened, the women's side of the docket for Rice is doing well. The women's basketball team has played well. The women's soccer team is still alive in the tournament. What has happened to Rice on the men's side of the ledger?
Well, I can explain baseball in two words. Wayne Graham looks mighty good to Rice baseball fans right now, doesn't he?
They might bring him out of retirement at age 92. Who knows?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, you're right.
Hey, Bob. Dave Nitz on the show tomorrow, right?
Absolutely. This will be his last year doing Louisiana Tech baseball. A real legend in the state of Louisiana and in the broadcasting world. So we really look forward to that. So all the guys will be back here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We hope you will, too. And until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.